Our Heavenly Father, we praise you. We praise you for so many things. We've just come through the Thanksgiving season, and it's just a reminder again of how many things we have to be thankful for. You've been so good to us. You've blessed us. You've taken care of us. You've walked with us through the valley of the shadow of death. You have healed. You have strengthened. You have saved us. Everyone that calls upon the name of the Lord, your word says, will be saved. If we will come to you by faith, you're so willing to forgive and to save. We're so thankful this morning, Father, for the season that we're about to come into. We call it Christmas. This season reminds us of the gift that humanity so desperately needs. This season reminds us, and this song reminds us, how those tiny little hands who reached up to his mother in the manger were those same hands that were with you, God the Father, at the beginning of it all. We're so thankful this morning, Father, for your word that we can learn, we can study, we can be reminded about the Christmas story. I'm so thankful this morning for America. Father, I pray for our nation. Revive the church. Save the lost. Set the captives free. Set us on a path, Father, with you, our entire nation and the globe. Redeem the lost, O God, I pray. There are many names in our prayer focus this morning, Father. Many will have surgery next week. Some have just had some surgeries. Some have just got new diagnoses. Some have lost their loved ones. Some are just hurting. Father, will you comfort each and every one? Will you be with every surgery? Will you be with every person that's lost their loved one? Will you comfort them? Will you guide and direct everyone that doesn't really know you, knows about you, but doesn't really know you as Lord? Will you guide them to you, O God? Will you fill the churches, Father, in our region and in our nation and around the globe this Christmas season that they might hear the good news, the story about Jesus Christ, and put their faith and trust completely in the Son of God? Father, thank you for watching over every one of us, including those on the prayer focus. As we have come today, this morning, God, we've just really come to worship you, to hear from you, and so speak to our ears. You already have through the music. I pray that you would speak to us through your scripture. Speak to us, Lord, as we worship you. Help us to be enlightened, encouraged, and surrendered to Jesus Christ as Lord. Guide us now by your Spirit, we ask and pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. God is good, amen. And it is always good to see you. It is always good to be in his presence to worship. And I was thinking about some things this last week. It seems like Advent is either a little longer this year or it hasn't started yet, one or the other. Depends on who you ask, I guess, whether it's officially started or not. But I see ourselves going from the Thanksgiving to the Christmas season, thinking about Christmas and thinking about Jesus and thinking about that birth and all of this important stuff. And so I wanted to springboard us into this new season with this thought. Is Jesus God? Now, you might think, well, that's a silly question. Of course he is. Or you might wonder about that whole dynamic. And so I've been thinking about that. And because we're coming into this Advent season, this Christmas season, I wanted us to understand completely today, and I know this will be redundant, I know for some, I know it'll be old news for some, but I wanted to be able to help us understand and answer who Jesus is and who he is not. Why? why would I even need to talk about this seemingly very, very basic Christian doctrine? Two reasons. Let me give you the first one. It's shorter than the second one. The first reason is I want us to understand the magnitude of what happened on that day. And when I say on that day, on that event, when Jesus was born, when God came to earth. I want us to understand the magnitude of what happened that day. That's reason number one. And reason number two, the other day I was reading in an article that a friend, pastor friend of mine pointed me to in Christianity Today. And in that article, the title of it was Evangelicals' Favorite Heresies. Within that article, there was a bunch of questions, and the results of those questions of how people, Christian people, evangelical people, answered the questions. Within that survey and tucked into this article was this statement. Now listen to it closely. It's not a trick question. But this statement, I don't know all of the questions or the statements are there, but they were asked simply in this article, in this research results, to answer these questions in one of three ways. Yes, no, or I don't know. And within that questionnaire of this is questioning Christians. This is not questioning people that aren't followers of Jesus. This is questioning evangelicals. And the one of the statements was, Jesus is the first and greatest created being by God. That was one within a multitude of questions asked of evangelicals. Jesus is the first and greatest created being by God. And according to that article, in 2016, 71% of evangelicals asked that question said, yes, he is God's creation. His greatest one, but he is God's first and greatest created being. This year, in 2018, the series of questions was handed out to 3,000 evangelical Christians, and the same statement was within that series of questions, the same statement that said, Jesus is the first and greatest created being by God. Only in 2018, 78% said yes. Jesus is God's first created and best created. Now, you might think, well, that's a little tricky, and you might think, well, what else did they ask? I don't really know what else they ask. I know the results of this question. And so reason number two for me to speak about is Jesus God today, nearly 8 in 10 that would profess to be followers of Jesus, evangelical Christians, don't yet understand that Jesus is not created by God. He is God. There is a difference. Now, I'm not here to tear down or demean, because there was a number of people in the first service that as they left, they said, thank you, I'm one of the 8 in 10. I never knew that. I am here to enlighten us, as I said, as we come into this Christmas season, we embark again on this Advent season, I want us to be crystal clear about who Jesus is and who he isn't. And I just felt that with this survey results, nearly 8 in 10 professing evangelicals are not really sure about who God the Son is, demonstrates to me that perhaps we need to still talk about some basics. And so, I'm going to point us to some scriptures, three of them in the New Testament, and then I'm going to invite you to, and you can open up your scriptures if you got the Bible, follow along with me, you can follow along with it on the big screen. But when we get to the last scripture, I definitely want you to open up the Word, I want you to follow along, I want you to see what it says. The first one comes from Colossians 1:16, and you've got to read that first chapter of Colossians to see it's really talking about God the Son, Jesus the Christ, the Savior. And when they get to verse 16, this is Colossians chapter 1, it says, for by him, that's Jesus, all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through him and for him, that's Jesus. Now, I mentioned this to the earlier service, and I know this is true with other pastors because I pray with pastors and I talk to pastors all the time. We wonder from time to time, from year to year, Well, it's Christmas again. What are we going to preach on now? Because we preached on it all last year. It seemingly. And we want to have something that's fresh and exciting and interesting and engaging and helpful to you. We really don't want to be mundane and just saying the same old, same old. But then, when I read this statistic, and I see that when Christians are polled, and 8 and 10 believe that God created Jesus, I'm thinking we maybe need to just stick with some basics. Even though it might be very basic, very mundane, very repetitious to some of you, there are people that maybe don't understand completely who Jesus really is and who he isn't. So for those of you that this seems repetitious and mundane, forgive me for this very basic teaching, but I think it's necessary for us to understand who is Jesus. 1 Corinthians 15:47, the Apostle Paul is talking about this, how sin entered into the world and how the Redeemer had to deal with sin. And he boils it down in verse 47, 1 Corinthians 15. The first man was of the earth, made of dust. That's Adam. We know that. The first man that God made was made of dust. That's Adam. The second man is the Lord from heaven. You see, friends, I've actually encountered people that are older than I am that, for whatever reason, thought Jesus began in Bethlehem. They thought that Jesus' existence started, as we see the little scene right here, as a baby. And so I want to point us to these scriptures to help us understand he didn't start as a baby. He came as a baby, but his existence was in the beginning with the Father. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And so I want us to understand that his existence did not start in the manger. Philippians 2, 5 through 7 says this. The Apostle Paul writes, "Let this mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, took on the form of a bondservant, and coming in the likeness of man." And so we've got these scriptures and so many more that describe who he really is. And we begin to understand now that this baby we celebrate at Christmas, he's not created by God, he is God. And so, I just don't want us to be confused about who he is. So now I'm going to ask you to turn to John chapter 1, where I want to drill down more on a bunch of verses there. That's perhaps one of my favorite chapters in the New Testament. And so if you've got your Bible, I want you to follow along. Yes, it'll probably be on the big screen, but I want you to follow along in John chapter 1 and see what John the Revelator, John the disciple, is saying about Jesus. Now, I've told you this before, and some of you, we've experienced this together personally. When I hand Bibles out to people, I often instruct them, don't start at the very beginning of the book like you would have there the other book, because it's kind of hard to understand the Old Testament. I oftentimes tell people to start in John. Why? Well, I want them to understand who Jesus is, why he came, and what we need to do about it. But then I think about this first verse in John chapter 1, and I'm thinking, I'm not helping them at all when I send them to a place like this and they read this verse, because this verse can be seemingly very confusing. So I'm going to break it down for us. I know many of you don't need it broke down, but I'm going to break it down for us today, John chapter 1, to explain to us who Jesus is and who he isn't. Here we go. John the disciple writes, "In the beginning was the Word, W-O-R-D, and the Word was with God. And the Word was God." Now, as I just mentioned to you, oftentimes I send people to here to start. That's a very confusing verse. If you've never read Scripture, not been in church much, don't know too much about Jesus, his beginning, or anything else, that's a very confusing verse. When you take this whole chapter, which we don't have time to go over, at least the first third of it, it really drills down and explains a lot more about W-O-R-D. For example, if you've got your Bibles open to verse 14, you can look at it in your Bible. It said, the Word, W-O-R-D, became flesh and dwelt among us. So that starts to enlighten us a little bit. What does W-O-R-D mean in verse 1? When it says, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, we start to understand he's speaking about Jesus. Okay? We're starting to, even though the word Jesus isn't used in all these first 20 verses or so, John the apostle is writing extensively about who he is. And so, in the beginning was Jesus, and Jesus was with God, that's in the beginning, and then he says, and Jesus was God. He, that's Jesus, verse 2, was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him, that's Jesus, nothing was made that was made. You see the importance of those verses. And I'm going to break that down a little further for us, because there's a lot of people during that time, and even our time, that wonder about this whole W-O-R-D word. So what does word mean? Listen very closely. This is a little deeper. For those with a Hebrew background, those of the Old Testament time, you know that was written in Hebrew and they studied Hebrew and all that stuff. Those in Hebrew, with that kind of background at all, in Hebrew scripture, W-O-R-D would mean to them agent of creation. Which is the obvious, would come to us, would be God. So John is expanding that to the Hebrew thought process. The Word is an agent of God. Psalm 33:6 verifies that if you want to look at that. To the Greek thinking folks, in Greek philosophy, W-O-R-D was the principle of reason that governed the whole world. And so to those Greek philosophers and Greek thinkers, when they saw W-O-R-D, it would mean that reason that governed the world, which again is God, and yet John uses W-O-R-D for Jesus. Now, to make it even perhaps more confusing, I hope not, but a little deeper, to the Jewish reader of that time, to hear a statement from John or to read a statement, and I quote, the Word was God, to the Jewish reader, that would mean blasphemy. You get that, right? Because they argued that when he claimed who he was when he was here, he was blaspheming. And so to make a statement, the Word was God, to the Jewish reader, that would be blasphemy. In other words, a little hard to swallow. I'm going to tell you why he uses W-O-R-D in just a moment. To the Greek reader, that phrase, the Word became flesh, unthinkable. Why? Because God, in the heavenlies, does not become flesh. So he's making these very bold statements, whether they have a Hebrew background or whether they're thinking Greek philosophy or whether they're Jewish. He makes this very bold statement, W-O-R-D, to explain in detail about who is Jesus. And so, to some, it would seem like this is uncomprehendable. To some, this would seem like this is blasphemy. But to John, to use W-O-R-D, to John, it was the good news for humanity. God coming to the earth in the flesh to redeem sinners. To John, it was the good news. In that very first 3, 4, 5 words in that John 1:1, you see the word beginning. In the Greek definition, that it's called arche in Greek, but the definition of that is commencement. Why do I say this? Because I'm trying to help us understand Jesus didn't begin in the manger. Jesus wasn't created by God. Jesus is God. We have God the Father, we have God the Son, we have God the Spirit. And I was talking to somebody in the foyer here afterwards, and he reminded me that there are, in fact, movements, whether we call them denominations or religions or whatever else, that teach Jesus was just another created being by God. That's not who he was. Jesus is God. And so when John uses this word, W-O-R-D, he's speaking to all kinds of folks with all kinds of thought processes, but he wants them to understand the importance of understanding who is Jesus. And so back to this word beginning. It means commencement. And so when we write, when we read, in the beginning was the Word, it's saying at the onset of life as we know it was Jesus. Are you still with me? I am not boring you to tears. Am I too deep or too basic? Neither. Okay, well, let me go on. When we read in Genesis chapter 1, in the beginning, we've all read that probably from time to time, maybe dozens of times. Jesus was there. But we understand that, do we not? Jesus was there in the beginning. When we read in Genesis 1:26, listen to this now. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image." Jesus was there. I'm trying to establish this morning, Jesus did not begin in the manger. And so, I want us just to be crystal clear about who he was and who he is not. And as I said before, I know this is so basic it's boring some of you to tears, but I also understand that people who claim to be Christians, who claim to know who Christ is, do not know he wasn't a created being. They do not know he is in fact God. I want us to know that. Now, oftentimes in a kids club or VBS or children's church or Sunday school or whatever else, children ask us important questions like, where did God come from? You've been asked the questions, have you not? Some of you have heard the questions. So where did God come from? When we talk about God as a creator and all this stuff, kids will ask us the greatest questions, the deepest questions, and they say, so where did God come from? And when we answer them, God always was, that's a little hard for them to understand, but what we are saying in essence, God the Son always was too. Always has been, always will be. You see, God the Father did not need to create a Savior. He had God the Son as Savior. Does that make sense to us, brothers and sisters? He didn't need to create him as some people teach. He was God with God the Father from the beginning. And so, here lies the problem. And I'll wrap this up now in these last few minutes. Here lies the problem. In your Bibles, you still got it open to John 1? Look at verse 10. He, that's Jesus, we've established that from the first couple, three verses. And you can look at 14 to see what I'm talking about. That's a definition of W-O-R-D. He was in the world. The world was made through him, that's Jesus, and the world didn't know him. Does that boggle your mind? The creator of the universe, God the Son, who was with God the Father at the creation of all things, came into the world, came into what he created, came to who he created, and the Bible says, John said, because John saw it with his own eyes, they didn't know who he was. And if that isn't tragic enough, verse 11 says, he, that's Jesus, came to his own, that's the Jewish people at that time, and the Jewish people in general, because they were called God's chosen, and his own did not receive him. See, that's a tragedy. God, this last song that we sang spells it out so beautifully, became a baby. God, the Son, left the creative beauty of heaven that we will only understand when we arrive there. God, the Son, left all of that, took upon himself a human baby body, and was born, and then grew up, and then taught them, and then did miracles, and he told them who he was, and the Bible says they didn't buy it. That's a tragedy. Is that not a tragedy, brothers and sisters? That's a tragedy. He came to his own and they didn't buy it. You're not him. You're a blasphemer. Or you're, as Josh McDowell printed many years ago, people either thought he was a liar, he was a lunatic, or you have to conclude he is Lord. Here's my point. If 8 and 10 who are answering a survey, 8 and 10 who would claim to be Christians, don't know that Jesus was not created, but is in fact God, and he came into the world in which he created, and the world didn't know who he was, it behooves us to understand and to talk about it all over again, who is Jesus? He is God. He is Savior. He is Redeemer. He is Emmanuel. You know what Emmanuel means, some of you? God with us. God didn't create another God. God, the Son, was God. Does this begin to make sense to us, brothers and sisters? Apparently not. You're looking a little gloomy. Let's see, I'm running out of time, so how am I going to help clear this up? Let me give you a quote from a commentary that I thought was worthwhile. Here's the quote. If we cannot, believer, if we cannot and do not believe this basic truth that Jesus is God, always has been, always will be, left being God to come and be human being and be our Savior, if we cannot believe this basic truth, we will not have enough faith to trust our eternity to Him either. End quote. This is not a denominational thing. Yes, there are movements, I'm not going to mention them by name, but there are movements, whether we call them denomination, cults, or some religion, that teach Jesus is created. I am here to tell you, brothers and sisters, per the Scripture, per the Word of God, He is not created, He is God. That's the only way He can be Savior. It's the only way He can be Emmanuel. It's the only way He can be Redeemer. If He is God, God the Son. And so, as we go into this Christmas season, it's vitally important that we understand who He is. And I've said it already, Emmanuel, Messiah, Savior, God. And it's vitally important that we recognize who He is not. He is not created. He is Creator. I know most of us understand that completely, but there may be some that don't, and I want to help us understand what the Scripture means. Now, how do we process that? What do we do about that? Also in your Bible, in verse 14, I just read to you, I just read to you 10 and 11. That's a tragedy. He came to His own and they didn't get it. He came to redeem humanity and they didn't subscribe to it. Verse 12, and then we'll close. Yet to all who received Him, to those who believed in His name, He gave the right to become children of God. 13, children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or a husband's will, but born of God. How do we become born of God? Very simply, verse 12 that John just told us. Those that received Him for who He was, Son of God, Messiah, Emmanuel. Those who believed on Him, we see the equation. I believe He is God who came to redeem us. I received Him by faith as my own. We see the equation. I believed, I received, I become His child. That's good news. That's good news that offsets the news of verse 10 and 11 that said, and they did not receive Him. Friends, if we're ever going to be part of God's heaven, if we're ever going to be part of His kingdom on earth and His kingdom in heaven, we must understand who Jesus is. Jane, we're going to sing. We must understand who He is and who He is not. We must surrender our lives to Him who is God. We must believe and receive by faith, trusting Him as Lord, and become His child. I want to encourage you, if you've never done that, friends, it's time. It's time. Eternity depends on what we do with Jesus. You must trust Him as Lord by faith. And you say, Jim, I don't know if I believe or buy any of this. It's all in here, friends. It really is. It's all in here. If we'll pick it up, read it, ask God to help us understand it, I'm encouraging you, read it this Christmas season. Understand who He is, who He's not, and trust Him as your Savior. Receive Him by faith and become His child. Father, once again, we want to thank You for the plan to redeem the human race. That plan included God the Son, Jesus, coming to earth, being born of a virgin, laid in a manger, grew to teach, to heal, and to die on the cross for our sin. Thank You, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, for the plan from the foundation of the world to redeem humanity back to Yourself. We celebrate the coming of Christ at Christmas. Help us to understand completely who Jesus is, O Lord. Help us to trust Him completely. Help us to surrender our lives to Him completely and allow You, by Your Spirit and Your Word, to lead us to be followers of Jesus Christ. Thank You for Your great sacrifice, Lord, in coming to take on the form of a human being and then going all the way to the cross. Thank You, Jesus. Go with each one here today. Help us to have a wonderful day, a wonderful Christmas season where we celebrate You, O God, and the gift that was given to humanity in God the Son. Go with each one today. Grant us safety on a good week of just trusting in Jesus. It's in His name I pray. Amen.